Hi. The question was, what have I done to help my marriage, communication? My husband and I are also very different. He's a brain, I'm a heart. What I have done before I say a word, when I know we're at that wall of misunderstanding, which could go the wrong way, I stop and I pray, please God, give me the words, give me the actions, give me the heart to move forward, to make this moment successful for my husband and myself. And it has really helped.
You know, Suzanne, you are an example of what intentional living is all about. It's not complicated. We sometimes overcomplicate life. It's a matter of seeing an issue or a problem or something that could be better and just saying, here is one thing I'm going to do. And you're doing it. You don't know what the outcome will be, but you know you're doing the next right one thing. That is intentional living. And today we're going to talk about communication. It's sort of a pickup on a program we did a while ago on this thing of communication in your marriage. You and your spouse are probably different. You got different love languages, as my friend Gary Chapman writes. But at the same time, if we can learn our spouse's language well enough to not only understand what it is, but be able to communicate in their language, it's a whole lot better off than forcing them to speak ours, right? I think that's true when we're in cross-cultural communication. It's true in the cross-cultural realities of marriage as well. So here's the question for you today. What do you need to say? How do you need to say it? How are you communicating? What do you do to read your mate, to understand your mate, to communicate with your mate? Share it live on our comment line. 888-888-1717 is my number. We have from our archive some great calls ready to go on today's program already. But again, the comment line is wide open to you at this moment. Love to have you participate by calling 888-888-1717. You've heard me mention one of the granddaddies of Christian counseling, Norm Wright, wrote a book many years ago that became a bestseller called Communication is the Key to Marriage. And he was right. It is a key. It's a key not only to marriage, it's a key to most relationships. One of the problems we have in our country today, we just can't communicate. We communicate, but we're not really connecting with each other. Communication is more than just noise. It's a connecting at the heart level. So let's get going. Melissa's on the line. Got a question for me. Melissa, hey, welcome to the program. How can I help you today?
Thank you for taking my call. About communication, and I'm listening or was listening. I'm wondering, I have some things I'm unhappy with in my marriage, I guess, and I just want to know how to approach several different issues without making it sound like everything's wrong and I just want to give up.
Yeah. Do you guys have times where you talk about things?
You know, when that is another issue, I guess, we don't have much time because we're both working always and have a four-year-old.
Well, like you said, you got a long list, it sounds like, right? You got a lot of stuff you're concerned about. And you know what? He may not have a list at all. I find this to be the case. You may have one partner in a marriage that has a long list of concerns, and the other one, I don't know. You know, I'm doing okay. And that can feel overwhelming. And so I tell people one thing, the power of one thing, maybe set a couple days a week, couple nights a week where you have a half hour, and during that half hour you agree just to talk about something important, maybe one topic, and when the clock is done, you're done. Because sometimes, I've seen this in counseling with people over the years, so many times it's the guy who feels pretty overwhelmed with communication. He may not be as skilled at it when it comes to some of these emotional issues and feels like, man, once I get started, it's going to be overwhelming. So pick one topic, have an agenda, give opportunity for both to speak and share, and I hope you both do, and then in the process, when the clock is up, you move on so you don't get stuck. Okay, let me go to Ann is on the line in Georgia. Ann, welcome to Intentional Living today.
Hello.
Hi.
I just joined the program, and I just felt led to pull over in the Cracker Barrel parking lot and call because a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to your fundraising thing, and it's like, of course everybody needs everything y'all have, but I don't need those CDs or whatever. Well, I found out my husband has stepped out on me the second time in a 14-year marriage, and it seems like the same thing from before. He's not being honest with his feelings, and I'm way in your face honest. And anything I suggest, it might make sense, like be careful where you hang out at work because, you know, your position, you know, blah, blah, blah. He takes his controlling. So I am a little controlling, but he also perceives good sound advice, analytical stuff as controlling. So he just keeps it to himself. We go for an ice cream, and he forgot about the argument. So how we don't communicate. I get loud fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me see if I understand, Ann, what you're, because you said many things
okay,
there.
Go ahead.
I heard you say he stepped out on you, meaning he's been unfaithful to you in the marriage. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just discovered, and I just said I want to stay with you. I don't care what. He thinks I'm an idiot.
So he thinks you should be leaving him.
Yes, he thinks there's no such thing as the kind of love that I have for him.
Hmm.
I'm weird.
Well, I think you're hurt. And I think he's hurt, and I think that the two of you have got to come to terms with, do you want to make this marriage work or not? I can tell you this, that biblically and in the practical terms of relationships, you can't have three people in a marriage. You got two people in a marriage, a husband and a wife, and until there's a decision to say there is no one else, we're going to make this marriage work and we turn toward each other, all the attempts to make a marriage work won't. And I would move beyond us where you guys are at this point and find a counselor, a pastor, and just lay the proverbial cards clearly on the table face up. I respect your love for him and the fact that you want to make this marriage work, but there also needs to be accountability. We can't have other people in a marriage relationship. It just doesn't work, according to Scripture, and I would think that people listening would agree who've been through this. It doesn't work. And so my encouragement to you, Ann, would be to talk to your husband from the standpoint of, you know, I want to make this marriage work, but we can't have other people in this relationship. If you're committed to working on this, let's do this together. Let's find a counselor, a pastor, and begin the process to rebuild our marriage. But if you don't, in other words, just assuming things are going to get better, they don't. In fact, unless we are making the effort to see a change, change doesn't occur. I tell you what, if you'll hang on, I'd like to send you, I want to send you a copy of my book. Sally will get your address in a moment, and we're going to send you a copy of my book, Starved for Affection. It's a book that has some practical exercises in it as well for couples that I think you'll find very practical for you. We'll be praying for you. I'll tell you what, I haven't seen couples get into deep holes when they trust God, willing to forgive and rebuild their marriage, not come out the other side stronger. So it's possible for you as well. All right, I gave you three questions to ask. Number three question I'll get to in just a moment. Again, if you want to share a comment with us, you can do so on our comment line at 888-888-1717. It comes right here into the Intentional Living Center, and press number two.
Hi, this is Erin, and every day I try to, when my husband gets home, to meet him at the door and to kind of make it exciting for everyone and bring everyone's attention to the fact that the head of our family's home and what a great time it is every day when he gets in, let him know how appreciated he is.
I just wanted to let you know that I have been very, very blessed with my husband of 45 years. Every day we both make intentions of saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, and have a terrific day and a kiss and a hug and however you are, I love you no matter what. Just wanted to let you know. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hi, I just wanted to leave a message about what I think is probably the most intentional thing we ever have done for our marriage, and that is that we take time to pray together every single morning, and we've been doing that for almost 23 years, and it's amazing what happens in your marriage when you're both just completely there before the Lord together. All I can say is it's not only was it intentional, but it's a life-transforming and a marriage-transforming thing. So, God bless everybody. Bye.
Here's the path to better communication. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. Practice healthy communication. Speak to each other. Speak with each other. Listen to what's being said. Share your feelings. You know, intimacy will grow as you develop the habits and the skills of healthy communication. It doesn't come naturally in most of our lives. It's something we need to work at and to practice daily. If you don't know how, then learn how. Read a book. Watch a teaching on video on how to communicate. Seek counseling. Go to a conference.
You can learn this, and when you do, it can change your life, it can change your family, and it can change your marriage. Take a look at our Intentionals for Marriage communication here on our website. It's something to help you to be intentional today.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
Communication is what we're focusing on today. It's one of the keys to a healthy marriage. Marriage communication is so important that we don't learn how to do it. Let's face it. How many times have you been to a communication class? When you were in school, maybe you went to a speech class where you learned how to make a speech, right? But I can't think of a place where you went and just learned how to communicate. Let's just learn how to talk and communicate, and which is such an important part of life. And so as I sat down, I created a list of the top 10. I call them the Intentionals for Marriage Communication, which I think we're going to have up on the website, right? You can get it through our broadcast highlights today at theintentionallife.com. But the first three are questions. What do I need to say? If every time you approach your spouse, you're going through a tough situation, something important that needs to be said, you've thought in advance, what do I need to say? In other words, picking your words carefully, because you know there are powerful words that can be misunderstood. And then secondly, how should I say it? Speaking your words carefully in order to avoid unintended consequences. One author talks about softening the startup, meaning that, you know, as a bull in a china shop, sometimes we can run right in and start, I got something I got to tell you. And the person you love is they're thinking about doing the laundry or something, you know. And all of a sudden you got some big topic you want to talk about. To really soften up how you're going to start, say things that are really get both of you on the same page. And then three, when should I say what needs to be said? Timing is critical. Have you ever noticed the wrong thing said at the wrong time can be really negative? But even a difficult thing said at the right time in the right way, set up in the right way, can be handled more easily. We're human beings. So those are three questions. I think you get those right, it's going to improve your relationship for sure. Hey, we appreciate your comments. You leave so many on our comment line. We thought it'd be good to share some with you. Take a listen.
I love intentional living, and my husband and I, one thing that we've been working on to help our marriage succeed is communication. With he as the head of the family, you know, he really puts himself in a position to be the giver of his love, and then me as the recipient of the love. And that has opened up our lines of communication. We've also made a move towards natural family planning, which has just opened up so many more doors for us. It's all about just being open to each other and being willing to give as well to receive. And I appreciate you guys so much, and God bless. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for sharing. I was thinking as you were sharing that, our friend Gary Chapman, who's written this best-selling, I mean, the simple little book, really, The Five Love Languages, and Gary's been on our program several times. I don't know, it sold like a gazillion copies, I don't know. And I think the reason it is, if you've read the book, it's a very simple book, but it shows that this is a big issue, that we all have different ways of connecting with each other in marriage, because we have different languages of love. And for some, words are really critical. Others, it may be gifts or acts of, you know, affirmation or, you know, service and different kinds of things. But if you're married to a person who has their love language about the words that are said, you need to be really aware of that, because how you communicate is going to be very significant to make that marriage work better and stronger, for sure. All right, Shirley's left a comment with us as well. Take a listen.
Randy, this is Shirley Blair, and I was wanting to tell you that years ago when my husband and I first got married, we had a disagreement, and we agreed to disagree. So what was so funny about that, well, we were married for 34 years, and I can't tell you now what that was ever about, and we totally forgot it. And he helped lead me to the Lord when we first got married, And I wanted to say he did pass away 5 years ago from Agent Orange, but he was such an influence to me. He was a very good Christian man, and we had a very good Christian marriage. And I just wanted to say it's very important to talk to each other and have it settled before you go to bed every night.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that we're to be angry but don't sin. It's an interesting verse, actually, to be angry and don't sin. It's kind of like those are juxtaposed. How in the world can you be angry and then not sin? Well, anger, in other words, is an emotion God's given us. It's part of life. In fact, if you have difficulty being in touch with your emotions, be concerned. I mean, if you can say, I've never felt anger, or I've never felt joy, you're just flat all the time, and you're married to someone who has this emotional range, that can create a problem. But that verse goes on to say, be angry and don't sin, and don't let, you know, the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, deal with it at that very moment. All right, this is good. I appreciate your comments. We got more coming up as we talk about the power of intentionally communicating in marriage.
I struggled with drugs for 20 years. I went to prison. I met God. When I got out, life was very scary. And when I found you, it changed my life. Intentional living keeps me focused. I'm so grateful to you.
Maybe like Karen, even as things in life get better, it can be scary.
Life is going to have turbulence. Ever notice on a plane when it gets shaky, you sit down, you put the seatbelt on, and you hang on. And in our lives, we have turbulence that comes.
In his message, What I've Learned on an Airplane, Dr. Randy will offer some practical advice for life, along with some entertaining stories and anecdotes he's gathered as he's traveled the country. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, thank you, Kurt. And by the way, I want to give a big thank you to each of you across the country who took the time to go online or call during this last week and a half, especially because of your interest and desire and commitment to be involved in the ministry, to support the ministry, and to stand with us so together we can reach more people for Christ. I know this radio station is committed to helping you. They may not use the term living intentionally, but you know what? That's what they're doing. They want to help you live an intentional life. And those of us here on the team of Family Life Radio and our Intentional Living Center are committed to helping you do that, to encourage you to experience hope, as I say, to really live a life of hope, to step out and be able to take that risk, trust God, and face whatever it is you're facing, just like that testimony of that lady who came from prison and now choosing to live intentionally. It can happen in your life as well. Thank you for your support. And by the way, when you join us as a monthly member, we'll make sure that you receive the featured lesson this month or access to it called What I Learned on an Airplane and all of our teaching from the last couple of years. All you have to do to join us and support today during West Coast Business Hours, call 888-888-1717 and press number 2. Talk to our team or go online anytime. Say, I want to be a part of it. At theintentionallife.com. God bless you. Thank you for your support.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. But it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
You know, I was thinking about this topic today, communication and marriage, and thinking about my wife, Donna, and myself. We've married a lot of years, and we've had times, I mean, come on, you may listen in and say, hey, he's got it all together, but sometimes we go home and they won't have it all together because we're humans too. And Donna and I have a little different communication styles. We all have expectations in communication, don't we? I say that I judge me by my intention, but I'm going to judge you by my expectations, right? And so that creates the dynamic that's a problem in marriage. And my wife is, she shares her expectations through suggestions. That's how she likes to communicate, suggestions. I'll give you an example. Here's a suggestion. You know, the garbage is supposed to get out to the street. That's about it. You know, it's not like, would you take it out? It's sort of a suggestion that maybe we should think about getting the garbage out to the street. And I'm a bottom line person, and I'll tell Donna, just tell me, you want the garbage out to the street? I'll take the garbage out to the street. You know, we don't have, like, we go out to eat. I mean, after all these years, we go through this same pattern. Where do you want to go? I ask her, where would you like to go? She says, I don't care. And I found that the woman does care. I mean, she really does care. And so my goal is to try to figure out what she cares about that night to see if I'm right. Because then I'll say, well, let's go over here. That doesn't sound very good. Okay, so I know she cares, but she's not going to tell me. And so to be able to communicate, sometimes you have to laugh at this too, because we can make big things out of little deals. And if you can understand the fact that it's intention and expectations that get us into trouble, if we can just clarify, is this what you expect? Is this what you intended? I think those are two great questions. Is this what you expected? And is this what you intended? Because if we can get those clarified, it will build healthier relationship in marriage. Appreciate your comments. Kathy has shared a comment from Missouri.
Hi, this is Kathy. I'm from Missouri, and I just wanted to leave a little message about communication. And my husband and I were married for 11 years prior to becoming Christians. And the interesting thing we learned in Bible study was the 4:32 rule of marriage, which it's Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as in Christ God forgave you. That works wonders in communication and marriage.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because when I do a conference in marriage, I'll often camp in Ephesians 4. We'll start about verse 23 and go through 32, because in those, 8 or 10, 12 verses, Paul unpacks really five really powerful things. First of all, about our thinking, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, be angry and don't sin, our emotions, be active with your hands, in other words, working, using your hands, the behaviors that we have. He says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Isn't that interesting? He puts all of these things together. And corrupt communication doesn't always have to be vile or blasphemy. Sometimes it can be corrupt in terms of, just like in a computer, you get a little corruption in there, it destroys the whole program, right? Just putting things into your communication that corrupts the relationship. And then, as Kathy mentioned, Ephesians 4:32, that we forgive one another just as Christ has forgiven us. I think we have time. Can we share a couple more? Let's hear from this caller with a comment.
I have a question. I've been married for going on 4 years, and there's certain areas that are very touchy to my husband, and I feel like I cannot ask the question. If I ask the question, he gets real upset. It can be basically anything. And then if he asks my opinion, I'll tell him, no, I don't want to tell you because you just get mad. And he'll push it and push it, and I'll tell him I'm very easygoing, laid back person, and he can get angry real quick. So this is, everything else is going great and fine. I'm 57, he's 58, and I don't know how to handle this situation. We've had counseling once. Things went well for quite a while, and back to the same thing. I think there's some issues there with him. Not sure what to do.
Here's another thing I learned on an airplane. We having fun yet? Is this good? All right, we're on the airplane. Here's another thing I've learned. I have to get along with people to get along in life. And you ever sat in the middle seat? I get in the middle seat and then the armrests are gone. You have nowhere to go. I mean, we have this little battle over the armrests, and then they bring in a lot of carry-on things and they jam them under, and so their space is falling over into your space. And it's quite an opportunity to get along with people. And the guy in front of you, as soon as he takes off, he puts his seat back. Come on. You're losing your salvation at about this point, right? Or the kid behind just kicking your seat, or that you can just feel they're putting their knee into the back of that seat and you're just getting a little bit. Is this only me, or some of you experienced this? To get along with people. two things that are really important. Number one, in life with people, focus on relationships. Focus on the people part of it, not the problem part of it. Because the second thing is, we are all spiritual beings. Every person we meet, every person on that airplane, every person in this building, every person we're broadcasting to, every person in our church, our neighborhood, is a spiritual being. When we look at a person, we should see them from an eternity perspective. They're going to spend eternity somewhere.
And how are we contributing to perhaps the information and ultimately the decision they make in terms of coming to Christ? And here at the Intentional Living Center, that's our number one concern, passion, interest, and mission, is to help people come to Christ. And then for those of us who are followers of Christ, to choose how we're going to live. We can either live a mediocre life, we can get by, as it were, and live our lives, and at the end look back and say, well, I wasted some time and wasted a lot of energy and resources. Or we can look back and say, you know, I chose to live an intentional life, to trust God. And that's what we want to help you do. So you have less regrets at that point in your life, more joy, more peace, more freedom. And that's why we're here. Not to live a perfect life. We call it an intentional life in Christ. And again, I want to say thanks to those of you who've been praying for us and those of you who recently reached out and joined in support of the radio through Intentional Living. Thank you for doing that. God bless you. And we'll make sure we're getting that new book out to you that we talked about. Speaking of support, when you join us as a monthly member of Intentional Living, with whatever the amount is that God lays on your heart, you know, we challenge a dollar a day, but whatever it is that the Lord leads you to do, we want to make sure that you start receiving all of the teaching from the ministry, all the new teaching, the things in our archives up on our exclusive site that we have available for you there. And we'll get that to you when you stand in support of the ministry. And again, to find out more, just go to theintentionallife.com. And you can click on that donate icon, and all the information is available to you for the ministry. Or you can call during West Coast business hours and talk to one of our staff. They love to talk to you. If you have a prayer need or something going on in your life, tell us where you're listening, why you're listening, what God's doing in your life. We're part of your family and you're part of ours. And so give us a call. Again, during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717, and press number 2 so you can talk to one of our team here. Again, I want to say thank you for your support. Thank you for joining us today. If you're married, I hope you take one thing that you've heard today and apply it to your marriage for the next 30 days. It could change everything. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.